Okay, let's get started with our discussion tonight of a timely and a timeless topic relating to the daf tangentially, but obviously it's a topic that applies to our life on many levels. How does it connect to the daf? Today's daf in Me'ilah Daf Tezvav, the Gemara is asking on a shita of Rabbi Yanai, what subject to Me'ilah? Daraisa, Darabanan, he seems to say very little a subject to Me'ilah on a Daraisa level. So the Gemara says, you have all of these sources that say there are a lot more than what he holds is subject to Me'ilah on a Daraisa level. So he keeps saying, Darabanan, 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 it's all Darabanan. Aya psukim asmachta ba'alma. Asmachta doesn't really mean that it's Daraisa, it just means it's Darabanan. And the Rabbanan worked backwards and then found the hint to these ideas in the Torah itself. So what exactly, just by segueing out of the sugya, what exactly does that mean, asmachta? The Rabbanan made up a rule and then put it back into the Torah. It's a hint. Did the Torah mention it? Did the Torah not mention it? And if it's daraisa, why did the Torah, or they learn it out directly? And if it's not daraisa, what does it mean that they learned it, put it back as a hint in the Torah? So hopefully we'll come back to that idea towards the end of the shiur. But this idea just gives us a little Pesach to talk about a topic that applies to each of us in many different areas, and that's the topic of Rut, which could be called Ratzon Hashem, or as I titled it, the fifth Shulchan Aruch. What does that mean? So let's start off with a Radak in the beginning of Yoshua. Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph in Yoshua. Perek Aleph, the Pasuk tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu dies and Yeshua takes over. But Moshe in Perek Aleph is called Eved Hashem. Moshe Eved Hashem dies and Yeshua takes over. Fascinating, not for now, but just to mention, in Perek Chaf Dalet, the last Perek of Yoshua, it says Yehoshua Eved Hashem dies. So it went from the beginning where Moshe Eved Hashem dies and Yeshua Misharso is the one who takes over, until finally at the end of Yeshua's life, he is Eved. What is an Eved Hashem? What is an Eved Hashem? Asked the Radak. Says the Radak, Eved Hashem, Mi shesam kol kocho v'kavonaso v'kolash kochosav b'shem yisbarach. Anyone who uses all of his faculties, all of his talents, all of his skills, l'shem shamayim, for some type of constructive purpose. The af b'his asko b'nyanei ha'olam, even in his involvement in the world. Miskaven la'avodas hakel yisbarach, hu yikrav et Hashem, when he has kavana to serve God, whatever he's doing, he has kavana to be a servant of God at that moment, he is called Eved Hashem. Avraham Avdi, David Avdi, Avdi Anavim, that's what an Eved Hashem is. Someone who in all facets of their life serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how do we do that? How do we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all facets of our life? We know when we shake a lulav, we're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know when we daven, we're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that doesn't make one an Eved Hashem. An Eved Hashem, says the Radak, is somebody who serves God in all facets of their life. So how exactly do we achieve this title, which all of us really, really strive for? So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about four different examples of where the principle, hopefully the goal of becoming an Eved Hashem comes up, outside of just fulfilling the 613. Because in four different areas, we will see we need to be an Eved outside of the 613, and this is where we really show our true colors to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll start off in a more limited sense. And that's a Ramban, which we've quoted in Parsha Shir over the past couple of years. And that's a Ramban in Parshas Vayeschanan. Where the Ramban says, the Ramban picks up on, l'shitaso, many general psukim in the Torah. And he makes a big deal about these psukim. Right? We know the Torah gives us many different commandments, but sometimes there's general commands. For example, last week's Parsha, Kedoshim Tiyu, be holy. The Ramban, as we know, has a famous, lengthy essay relating to Kedoshim Tiyu. But also here, he picks up in Das Eschanan, the Asisa Hayashar Vahatov Be'enei Hashem. Do what's right in the eyes of God. What does that mean? Do what's right? We know what we have to do. We have to do 613 mitzvahs. So what does the pasuk mean? Do what Hashem wants. V'asisa hayasher v'hatov b'nei Hashem. What does that mean? What does the Torah want from us from this pasuk? V'asisa hayasher v'hatov. Says the Ramban towards the bottom of page 2. V'zeh inyan gadol. This is a very important inyan. Lefi she'i efshar lahazkir b'Torah kol hanhagos ha'adam im shcheina v'reyav. It is impossible for the Torah to tell us what to do in every single situation. It's impossible. V'kol masa'o umatano v'tikinu yishuv amadinos kulam. And all the masa umatan and all the discussions of every country, of every situation, of every generation is impossible. The Torah can't tell us to do. Exactly. Okay, what should we do with microwaves on Shabbos? What's the halacha? What should we do with end-of-life shilas? What should we do with, in the 1800s, if there's a country in Europe that says you're not allowed to bury somebody until 3 days after they die to make sure that they're dead? Every generation has shilas that the post can deal with. It can't, it's impossible to go through every single situation and tell us what to do. So you know what the Torah does? The Torah gives us 613 rules and regulations. And it's basically our job to fill in the blank where there's an unknown. Because there are many times you have to apply. You don't know. The Torah doesn't talk about this case. You don't know what to do. Aval, achareisha hizkir behem harbe, after the Torah says, many, 365, 248, kegon, lo selech rachil, lo sikom velo sitar, revenge, lo samar adam reyecha, lo sakal achereish, mipnei seva takum. After the Torah says many of these mitzvos, chazar lomar b'dera klal, the Torah then says, do what's right and good. Hayase hatova yashar b'chal davar, ad sheikanis bazeh apsharav lefnim mishura sedin. That's what lefnim mishura sedin means, says the Ramban. Kigon, for another example, the Torah does not talk about the following case, and we'll see that someone else says it about this case too in a second. Mashis kiru b'dina debar mitzra. What's the Bar Mitzvah? Comes up in Bar Mitzvah. If I'm selling a field, the halacha is I have to go to my neighbor first to see if he wants to buy the field. He wants to buy the field. Why? What if I could get the same price from somebody else? If you could get a higher price from somebody else, you're allowed to sell it to somebody else. But if you get the same exact price from your neighbor, the halacha is Bar Mitzvah, the border person, you have to sell it to that person. Why? Because it's worth more to him. Because he can now expand and have both fields as one field. It doesn't say that in the Torah anywhere, that that's what you should do. It doesn't say, there's no halacha, there's no mitzvah to do that. The asisa hayashar v'hatov. Try to figure out what Hashem would want. The Torah says, v'yatarecha kamocha. The Torah says, this halacha, that halacha, Hashem es aveda. And it's our job to then fill in the blank. V'afilo masha amru, pir kona, v'dibro b'nachas and abrios, ashi ikari b'chol inyan tam b'yashar. Says the Ramban, our first application is, number one, it's impossible for the Torah to say everything. So we have to fill in the blank where we could apply the principles of the Torah. Let's say Hilchas Shabbos comes up all the time. Where does it say on Shabbos that I can't do this, I can't do that? Where does it say not turning on a light? Okay, we have to say, what is a light? What's the root of the action? It's fire. A light halachically is fire. But we have to apply everything that has been said and then apply it. The Chazon Ish even writes in one place, this has come up in the past, that really all principles of Torah were finished bizman ha-Mishnah. Stimas ha-Mishnah, finished. Everything after the Mishnah is just application. The whole Gemara is application, and for sure after that. But even if you don't want to say that extreme, one could say wherever the Torah left something out, we need to fill it in. The same idea is said by the Magid Mishnah, a couple of generations after the Ramban, the last Magid Mishnah in Hilchos Shechinim. Last Magid Mishnah. What's going on at the end of Hilchos Shechinim? This is talking about the halacha the Ramban referred to, Dina de Bar Mitzra, the border city. And therefore, says the Magid Mishnah, the Inyan Din Ben Amitzar, who Shetoraseinu Atamima Nitna B'Tikun Midos HaAdam. The Torah is a perfect system, and it's there to perfect ourselves. Uba'an Hagaso Ba'Olam Klalim Ba'Amar Kadoshim Tiyu. But the Torah throws in general statements because, as he continues, it's impossible. He quotes Vatzisa Yesh Vatov. He's obviously getting it from the Ramban. Magid Mishnah was Bizman, the same generation as the Ran. So he was like four generations after the Ramban. So, says the Magid Mishnah, that the Torah, the end of the Magid Mishnah, mitzvah ha-Torah heim b'chol eso v'chol zman b'chol inyan. V'ha-hechrech chayev lasos kein. And it has to be this way, but it is impossible for the Torah to... say every single case. So therefore, it says klalim, and we have to apply what's left out. Number one. There's a second idea. Number one was just, it's impossible. It's kind of like, it's efshar, so we have to fill in the blank. But there's another idea. And that is that sometimes the Torah specifically, or Hashem specifically, leaves it out on purpose so that we could do it and he could give us the chance to do it voluntarily, as if to say, now I know that you really appreciate me. Even though I didn't command it, but you're doing it anyway. That's one step further than point number one. Point number one is, you know, it's impossible for the Torah to say everything. So the Torah says, 6:13, apply the Torah, you know, where the Torah didn't say it explicitly. But now, step two now is that the Torah could have said it. The Torah specifically, Hashem didn't want to say it explicitly. Because the Torah wants us to do it on our own. We have an extreme of example of this in the Pirush of the Ran on Parshas Vayera. We don't have the Ran on much of the Chumash. We have it on Sefer Bereishis. We have a Pirush of the Ran. The Ran writes, I mentioned this in Rosh Hashanah Shiurim in the past, the Ran picks up on the question of what was the root Nisayon of the Akedah. Obviously, it's sacrificing one son. It goes against everything that Avram stood for. Avram was the ultimate anti-child sacrifice. He was the Amud HaChesed. He went about and spreading monotheism. And all of a sudden, obviously, it was a tremendous Nisayan. But the Ran has an amazingly creative idea, picking up on one word to explain what the real Nisayan of the Akedah was and how Avram really proved himself with the Akedah. How is this different? After all, there are 10 nisyonos. What? Hashem says, go to there and I'm going to make you a great nation. And then there's no food and there's a famine. He has to leave. That was also a pretty big nisayon. A lot of nisyonos he has. He has to throw out all the different cheshbonos of the Rishonim. What were the 10 nisyonos? But everybody agrees number 10 was the Akedah. So what was the root? Says the Ran, what's the tzivui, the language that Hashem says to Abraham? Kach na es bintchas yechidcha. Please take your son. What's that word, na? We know Chazal always say, Ein na ela lashon bakasha. Na is a lashon of beseeching. Says the Ran, and we'll see it inside in a minute. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was never mitzave Avraham to shecht his son. He never mitzave commanded him. You know what he said? I'd appreciate it. He was megala ratzon. He said, you know, this is something that I would appreciate. He wanted to see if Avram would fulfill the Nisayon even without being asked. That was the godless. Lamad Avradome. If a parent asks a child, if a teacher asks a student, it's much greater if I know that my father wants a cup of tea, I don't wait to say, can you please get me a cup of tea? No, when I know he needs it, I bring it to him even without his asking. That was Nisayon of the Akedah. Was kach na es bincha es yechidcha, says the Ran. Right, it's not appropriate that he'll command it. But it was all line 7. Aval kol zeh haya kavanas mehashem yisbarach sheyegala otzim avas Avram elav, to reveal the greatness of Avram's love for him. L'masha haya yodeya shim heyo shelo yitzave bazeh, even if he wouldn't command him. Aval yadaber ito b'milot miniot oto im kol ze yaskim, still Avram would agree to it. Mitzad teshukaso elav lashlim chefso, I just want to do what Hashem wants. Meaning, Hashem didn't command him because he wants us to have room to do even without being commanded. Yes, I think you're bothered. I see it in your eyes. Gadol hamitzuva v'yosa mimisha ena mitzuva v'yosa. In a sense, there's a greater yetzahara not to do something, Tosfos says. Mitzuva v'yosa. But we also understand that volunteering something before being asked sometimes is even harder. If you ever want a job done, you know, sometimes it's not going to get done until you ask somebody. If somebody would volunteer to do it, wow. Unbelievable. But that's the level here. V'huka omer, as if he's saying, ain't any mitzavcha bazeh, I'm not commanding you. Ki lo uchal mitzav shekvar heftavticha b'yitzchak. I already commanded you that, or told you that I'm going to be yitzchak ikar l'chazara. So, either way, it says the Ran, that is where Avraham was able to show himself. In the same vein, we have the same idea brought out in a different context from Rabbi Lau in the Haggadah Shir this past year. A couple of weeks ago, we spoke about Rabbi Lau in his Haggadah on page 5, where he asks why, famous question, why there is no bracha on the mitzvah of Sivri Yitzias Mitzrayim. Some say there is, Asher Galanu, Kiddush, Vechulu, why there is no bracha. So Rabbi Lau's answer, if you remember, is, quoting the Sfas Emes, it's really the Sfas Emes' answer, he says, what is a bracha? Hashem, I'm doing this because you commanded me to do it. That's why we're doing it. If a father, he gives the mashal, same mashal, father asks, bring me a cup of tea. And the son goes to his father and says, Baruch Ado Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kedoshanu B'Mitzvot V'Zivonu L'Chabed Av. Here, Dad. The father would say, thanks, son, what are you doing this for? Because Hashem told you? Because I asked you. Shas Rabbi Lau, if we formalize Kibud Av Ha'Eim and have a bracha to start it, so then it's as if we're saying we're only doing this because Hashem told me and not because I have a karas hatov for my father and I love my father. No. It's got to be natural. That's why there's no bracha on Kibud Av Ha'Eim. Says Rabbi Lau, that's why there's no bracha on Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim is supposed to be something that we naturally need to talk about. Hashem told us today to do it? No. No. Okay, he told us. But we can't make a bracha about it. You commanded us to do it. So it's not the exact, at least the same point as the Ran, because after all, here it's a mitzvah. The Ran's explaining why it's not a mitzvah, but it's the same idea. That we don't want to formalize it. It should be something natural. But again, point number two is that it's left out on purpose. Because Hashem wants us to become closer to Him through the flexibility and through the leniency that there is. One final source where we see this come up is in an Ar Sameach, Rav Meir Simcha, beginning of Hilchos Kriyas Shema, a related point to what we just said from Rabbi Lau. And that is the question of why the Rambam does not count a separate mitzvah aseh of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Rambam counts a separate mitzvah of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Every year, once a year, on the night of the 15th of Nisan, there's a mitzvah to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the mitzvah is also a mitzvah every day to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right? It's Mefurish Gemara. The Gemara in Brachas in the first parak says, that's why we read the third parak of Shema. Right, the last Amud, Yubayz Mabayz in Bracha, says, why do we read Shema? For six things, but one of them is because Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's why we say V'yatzav Enachon and Emunah Kazos, Yetzias Mitzrayim. So ask all of the Mefarshim, why does the Rambam count it as one of the 613? There's no mitzvah of Zechira. So some say it's Drabanan, some say it's Talui, but Prima Gadim says it's Iker Belev. That's why you don't quote it. Reb Chaim says it's included in the mitzvah of Kriyas Shema, because the Rambam paskins all three parshiyos of Kriyas Shema Daraisa. So, but the Ar Sameach goes back to the shitas that say it's Drabanan. Why would it only be Drabanan? Drabanan? Why? Says the Ar Sameach, there are different types of mitzvahs Drabanan. And we'll get back to this a little bit later as well. Says the Ar Sameach. See where it's underlined. In the second paragraph. Hainu. D'yesh takanas chachamim she'ein zeh rak mishum mishmeres. Some takanas drabanan, all gzeros, and some takanos are as a guard. Kamo netilas yadayim v'chayotzi bazeh. Netilas yadayim goes back to washing one's hand for truma. That's what we need to do netilas yadayim today. It's a few steps. V'yesh and some takanas drabanan shehu mishum inyanim shenischatshu acharei matan Torah. And some takanas drabanan are because items that happen after the matan Torah. Kamo kriyas ha-megillah v'chayotzi bazeh. And finally, there's a third category of takanas. Not because of a siyag. He doesn't say siyag because it's positive. Not because of mishmeres. Not because of chidush. But why? V'yesh inyanim sheheim lahafakas ratzon haborei. So other inyanim are just to bring out what Hashem wants. Av ki lo hitil v'lo hichbid b'toras chova. Even though he didn't put it on ourselves as an obligation, because zeh kasher ra'u rashei haknesia, but when the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah saw, ki zeh afakas ratzon haborei la'ofan ha'yoser, nirtze hischayvu bazeh, v'zeh al tavas ki zeh k'nei mecha. It was left out. Why was it left out? Because Hashem wants the Rabbanan to figure out and say, you know what? Figure it out. Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. You think you should mention it every single day? You should be mechayev it every single day? Of course we should! So why did Hashem leave it out? Because He left it open to the Rabbanan to bring out lahafik ratzon haborei, to bring it out, like the Ran says, the Akedah was not a tzivui, right? Because Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim was not mitzuveh, according to the Rambam, because it's to bring out, to allow us to step into the step up to the plate, and in order to show our true colors to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by even though we're not obligating, we are obligating ourselves, and we're going to do it ourselves. Okay, so number one was the idea of Ratzon Hashem, Hashem wanting us to apply the principles of the 613 to places where the Torah couldn't have said it, because the Torah can't talk about every single case. Number one, the Ramban, Vasisa Yashav HaTov. Number two, not only that, but it could be that Hashem sometimes dafka left things out of the Torah to allow us to then, take it upon ourselves to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem. That's the Ran by the Akeda, and that's the Ar Sameach by Yetzias Mitzrayim. But step three now, there's another idea of Ratzon Hashem, and that is based on our halachic sense, based on everything we know, we could figure out what Hashem would want us to do in certain situations. Not just as step one. Step one was, it's exactly what the Torah says, but you have to apply it. The Torah says, don't light fire on Shabbos. So what's fire? So we have to apply what's fire to microwaves, to lights. That's part one, because it's impossible for the Torah to write everything. That's applying the exact principles. But step three, which is connected to step one, is once a person has a halachic intuition, once a person is steeped, and hopefully we all are steeped in Torah and mitzvot and what Hashem wants from us, then in places which the Torah didn't say a word about, and there are no principles in the Torah to talk about what to do in this situation, but still we would know what to do just based on what we have absorbed throughout our limud and throughout our life. I didn't give this to you, at least the first source, and this is said though by Rav Soloveitchik, by the Rav, in the hesped that he gave from his uncle for the Briska Rav. And that is, the Rav writes there that, the Gemara says, Torah Tzivalana Moshe Mo Rasha Ki Ilas Yaakov, Al Tikri Mo Rasha Ela Mo Rasa. The Gemara says that we are married to the Torah. We're married to the Torah, Mo Rasa. Said the Rav, isn't it interesting that the word used is Mo Rasa Erisin? What about Nisuin? Erisin is only the first stage of a Jewish marriage. Nisuin is the Gemar. Nisuin is the completion. After Erisin, husband and wife are still not allowed to live together. So why is it Erisin? Says the Rav. Says, what's the difference between Erisin and Nisuin? Two stages. Erisin and Nisuin, I'm reading to you from page 214. This is in the Rav in Ma'ado Dech Midod. Erisin and Nisuin, Shnei Shlavim Heim, B'talich Halos Ha'ishis. Mavlitim Heim, Shtei Tzurot Nifradot, Shalakesher Ha'atik HaNotzar B'nish L'isha. Yesh Hevdel Misuyam, but there's a major difference. What's the difference? Erisin Mushtatim Al Kinyan. Erisin is a Kinyan. Kiddushin is a Kinyan. Can't do Kiddushin on Shabbos. It's a Kinyan. Nisuin is much more than that. Nisuin is a blending of the personalities, is a blending of the Ish V'Isha become one unit. Most halachas kick in after Nisuin. Erisin is a formal relationship. Now there is a context. Nisuin is the personal, is the depth of the relationship. Now they could be husband and wife fully, this chuppah. And that's why my Rebbe Rosenzweig always likes to point out, Kiddushin is very simple to know what you have to do. Kesef Shtarobia. Clearly, you have to know what to do. Exactly. The Mishnah says, what do you need for chuppah? What do you need for Nisuin? Very unclear. What's Nisuin? Seven shitas in the Rishonim. What's Nisuin? We do them all, just to be safe. What are the shitas? Some say it means under a canopy, under a chuppah, what we call a chuppah. Some say chuppah roi labia, the Rambam says, living together. Others say it's what we do, have the badekin, right, over the, all different shitas. Some say having a suda, or sitting together in a designated area at a suda. The Rambam in Eben Ezra quotes all these shitas, so we do as many of them as we can. Why is it so unclear? Because kinyanim are clear what you need to do. That's why Kiddushin is clear. Nisuin, it's more about the result that's created. There's a unit of Ish V'Isha. There's a connection between them. Says the Rav about his uncle talking, he says, that's why when it comes to the relationship of a Jew to Torah, most of us have Erisin to the Torah. We have a certain kinyan. We have a certain relationship with the Torah, Erisin. But certain Yechidei Skula have Nisuin to the Torah. They have a certain halachic intuition that they know what the Torah would say, even though it's not written somewhere, even though this din is not talked about in the Torah, and you can't apply the principle of the Torah to it because even the principle is not talked about. But you can figure it out based on one's halachic intuition. That's Ratzon Hashem. We know Hashem would want me to do this in this situation. Rashi says in Parshas Tetzaveh, I have no idea what the ephod looked like. I don't know. Then Rashi says, V'libi Omer li, and then he has a 20-line Rashi describing what the ephod looked like. Libi Omer li. Rashi says, I don't know what it means. I don't know how to explain it. That's the halachic intuition. Libi Omer li, that's the nisuin to the Torah. That is, that's what's over Soveitchik. Rav Schechter, when he quotes this Rav, he quotes the story of the Chsam Sofer, by many of his tshuvas, he left his tshuva on the base medrash table, and his son, the Chsam Sofer, looked over the tshuva and then mailed it out to whoever he had to mail it out to. And he says, one time, the Chsam Sofer, he left the tshuva on the table, and like a week later, it was still on the table. So he went to his son, he says, I don't understand. He says, why is it still on the table? So I preface with, one has to know how to use this story. It could be presented in a very dangerous way, where I, chas v'shalom, don't want to present it. So we should not present it to those who might misuse it. But the story is that the Chsam Sofer says to the Chsam Sofer, I see the tshuva, but the rayas aren't so convincing. And the sources, I don't know. The Chsam Sofer answers his son. He says, the answer is the answer. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. The rayas are just extra. The rayas are thrown in there. This gemara, that gemara. I didn't get the answer from those rayas. So you have to know, it's very dangerous, because one might say, oh, he came up with the answer and then tried to fit into the sources. Chas v'shalom. He didn't do that. Chsam Sofer, though, had the libi omer, he had the halachic intuition that he knew what Hashem wants. It wasn't against those gemaras. He didn't bring those gemaras. He knew. He brought those gemaras as snifim, as extras. But there wasn't a gemara that was against. Based on his life, he knew what the answer was. But that's Rashi, and that's the Rav about Nisuin. But that's this third step of Ratzon Hashem, and this Ratzon Hashem might only be able to be determined and used by Yechidei Skula. But the same idea is also expressed by Rav Asher Weiss. If you skip, I put the pages out of order, but if you just look at the page 8 for a second, and then we'll get back to page 7, Rav Asher Weiss says this in a couple of contexts. One of them is, he points out, fascinatingly, we know there's a principle of Tzar Bali Chaim. The Gemara says it. Tzar Bali Chaim, Daraisa, Daravana, but it's principle. We're not allowed to pain animals. Comes up in various different contexts. What's the source for Tzar Bali Chaim? The Gemara says it, Tzar Bali Chaim, Daraisa. The Gemara never quotes a source. What's the source? Says Rav Asher Weiss, Kedarko Bakodesh, he found 11 sources in the Rishonim. I didn't give them to you. They're on the next page. You can look. This is in Devarim, Simen Nun Aleph. He found 11 sources. 11 sources. Rachamav al Kalmasav. One of the Rishonim says that it's based on the pasuk by Bilam. Lama Hakises Asoncha. There's a Balaturim, I think, that says maybe the source is that from Kilai HaBehema, you're not allowed to have a kosher and a non-kosher animal, according to all Rishonim. The Rambam says even two kosher animals. But everybody holds, even the Rush holds, a kosher and a non-kosher animal on the plow at the same time. Why kill I behema? The Baal Turim says, because what's going to happen? The non-kosher animal is going to look over at the kosher animal, right? The camel is going to look over at the cow, and he's going to see him chewing his cud. And he's going to see him chewing. He's like, he's getting lunch now! Lunch was an hour ago! And he's going to pain him. Tzar Baal Chaim. Right, so many different sources. Halacha Moshe B'Sinai, the Ritva says. So how could it be 11 sources for one din? And why did the Gemara say it? Says the Rasha Weiss, that's Ratzon Hashem. It says nothing about painting animals, really, in the Torah. All of these are b'dievids. But the point is, based on everything else in the Torah, we could say that, you know what, this is what Hashem would want as well. Look what he says back in the first paragraph. Hinei pashut ha-davar. It's obvious. De milvat taryag mitzvah sheba Torah. Besides the 613, suma al ha'adam l'kayim mitzvahs rabos, there are a lot of other mitzvahs that we could call. Sha'af himina Torah. Ela shalom nimnu b'minyan taryag. Mishum del shalom namru b'lashon sivri mefurash. Mikamakam ratzon Hashem sheyazo samadam v'chai b'hem. V'ritzon hazeh l'meitim mitar. And he quotes, it doesn't say anything in the Torah about painting. He gives another example. The two examples that he gives are Tzar Bali Chaim and the mitzvah of chinuch, educating our children. Major machlokas in Maseches Brachos is the mitzvah of chinuch d'oraisa or d'rabanan. Machlokas Rishonim. It's also another, is it on the child, is it on the father? Okay, but answer Rav Asher Weiss. How could there be anybody who says that the mitzvah of chinuch is d'rabanan? Me, d'oraisa, I could send my kids to public school and let them do whatever they want. and do whatever. Midra, the rabbanim and bechadish. Oh, you got to give him a Jewish education. What? What? It's a chiddush din of the rabbanim. Of course not. Says Rav Asher Wise, the details are the rabbanim versus Dorais. That's the machlokas. But the idea of mechanech our children, you don't need a mitzvah for that. It's Ratzon Hashem. It's obvious. It's Svara. So therefore, one doesn't need, right? It's obvious that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu would want me to do. I'm just thinking about it now. It's not exactly the same, but one could suggest, what about, the Gemara says it's a Svara to make brachas. Birchas Hanenin. We're beginning six parak and brachas. Svara, so maybe that's also another example of Ratzon Hashem. Why didn't Hashem tell me to make a brach on food? No, it's Ratzon Hashem. Hashem says this. This is what he wants us to do. It's a svara, right? Also, lenos be'al mezebelo bracha. It's a svara that it's gezel. But maybe at root, it's applying everything that Hashem told me, and it doesn't say anything in the Torah about this case, and I'm applying it to this case. So again, number one is that it's impossible for the Torah to have spoken about every case. So therefore, we have to apply the principles to those cases. Number two is Hashem Dafka left it out because he wants us to volunteer. Kach noes binchas yichidcha, the Ran's pshat of the Akedah, and the Arsameh's pshat of why there's no mitzvah of Zechiris Yisias Mitzrayim. Number three is not that the Torah couldn't have said, the Torah could have said the mitzvah of chinuch. The Torah could have said the mitzvah of Tzar Bala Chaim. But it's not, that's not the point that is the focus of number three. And also, it's not that Hashem Dafka left it out, but we can assume that, and we have halakhic intuition that these are ideas that Hashem would want us to do. It's the fifth, this is the really the fifth Shulchan Aruch. The fifth Shulchan Aruch is Tzar Bala Chaim and Chinuch and all the things that are not mitzvos that were left out, but we could, based on the inner logic of the rest of the system, we could assume this also is, should be part of the system as well. And then we have the final point, which relates back to what we started off with. And this we actually mentioned in today's Daf Yomi Shir. And that is Reb Elchanan. Getting back to mitzvahs d'rabbanan in general. Why? The question that the Reb Elchanan deals with on the previous page, in Kuntres Divrei Sofrim, Reb Elchanan deals with the less famous question. There is a well-known question on the Shita of the Rambam. The Rambam and the Ramban have an important machlokas. Maybe we even had a shir on about it in the Daf Biyun, I don't remember. The Rambam and the Ramban have a machlokas. When I violate an Isser d'rabbanan, the Rambam holds, I also violate an Issa Daraisa of Lo Sasser. The Pasuk says in Shoftim, Parsha Shoftim, do not turn away from what the Rabbanan told you to do. Yaminu Smol. Fine. The Rambam says every time I violated Darabanan, I violated Daraisa. Ask the Ramban, among other questions, say, how do you ever have the principle of Savi Darabanan Lakula? If every Darabanan is really Daraisa, so every Darabanan, Savi Darabanan is really Savi Daraisa. Okay. So the most common answer given to that question is Kahai Gavna Lo Tiknu. It's only Lo Sasser when it's Vadai. What, the second that it's Safik, Safik equals Mutter. Right? By Durabanans. That's the answer that the Rabban himself suggested, but that's the Meshech Chachma and others. But the Reb Elchanan deals with the other question, which is less dealt with in the Achronim, and that is the Ramban. So the Ramban says, no, if you violated Durabanan, you don't violate a Daraisa. So what's the source in the Torah for listening to the Rabbanan? So how do you not have to listen to the Rabbanan? If you're not violating a Daraisa, so how do you know? What's the source? We know the source of the Rabbanan making laws. And that is Asu Mishmeres L'Mishmarti. Asu Mishmeres L'Mishmarti. So that's the source that they can make the laws. But what's the source that we have to listen to them? Right, so that Lo Sasser is only by Best and Agadol, whatever limit that the Ramban would have. Says the Kuntres Divrei Sofrim, says the Ramban, I'm sorry, says Reb Elchanan, that our idea that we have been talking about is the basis for all dinim d'rabbanan that we must listen to. If there's a mitzvah in the Torah that the Rabbanan can make laws, then obviously it's Ratzon Hashem that we listen to them. And that we believe that, obviously, if it's the Sanhedrin, we don't have to believe this about every rabbi that makes up his own law, right? If most of the rabbis don't think that that's such a great law, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the general laws that were accepted by all of Klal Yisrael, all the dinim d'rabbanan. Says Reb Elchanan, we believe that that's what Hashem had in mind as well, that they should be able to have the power to do what's needed for every generation. And he says that's learned out from, actually, the Chazal, Masechet Yevamos and Shabbos, the bottom right. The Gemara in Yevamos, Tanya, Gimel Dvarim Asa Moshe Rabbeinu Midaito. Moshe Rabbeinu did three things without being told by Hashem. One of them, he broke the Luchos. What does Hashem say? Yashar Kocha Hashem Shibarta. You know what Hashem is saying there? That's really Yashar Kocha to all Dinim Drabanan, not just Moshe Rabbeinu. Yashar Kocha She Gazarta She Tikanta. All Dinim Drabanan flow from Ratzon Hashem. That we believe that that's obviously He wants the ones who safeguard the tradition and the laws to be listened to. Middle, Mikol Makom, His Schema Daitlo Das Hamakom. The Kain Gam Ratzon Hashem Yisparach. Elo Shelo Tzivo, we didn't command it. Al Zeh Tzivim Mefurash. V'yem Kain Yesh Lomar, Deku Adin B'chola Mitzvahs, V'Isurin Shel Devrei. And all the Rabbanans, His Schema Daitlo Das Hamakom, Ula Dugmo, when they made the Shnios L'Arayas, it was all, we assume, what Hashem wanted. And he says, this also helps, again, there's a lot here, a lot more that we could have put in here, but this explains at least three more problems. And that is number one, says the Rebbe Chanan in Os Chaf Aleph. How could there be Mitzvahs D'Rabbanan before Matan Torah? Before Matan Torah, there was no Torah to safeguard. So how were they Dina Dura? Avram Avinu kept the Erev Tavshilin. Okay, he did it as an Inam Mitzvah of Yosef. But how could it be Moshe Rabbeinu made, right? Bezdin Shal Shem, the Gemara says, Aser certain types of Yichud, different stages. So how could there be, there's no Torah to safeguard? Says Rebbe Chanan, if we say that listening to the Rabbanan is all about realizing what Hashem wants, that could even be before Matan Torah. Ratzon Hashem is a concept that doesn't have connect specifically or connects to the Ratzon Hashem. So he says, La Sovereign, he says, V'chein Kashav, V'mesh Hosem Moshe Rabbeinu, Yomechon Midaito, Midrabanan. He says, Lo Schaf Beis, Lafiana Lasi Shaper, if it's in beautifully, to come at Shetzibu Chachamim, Anu Yodin, Shekenu Gam Ratzon Hashem, V'dovezel Lasos Ritzoni Yisbrak, Kol Be'olam, Mitzuvim V'yodim, even beforehand. So number one, before Matan Torah. Number two, there's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu that it explains beautifully. It's actually a targum. Os Chaf Gimel. The pasuk says that Hashem is very upset at us when we bring avodah zarah. But the language of the pasuk is ubanu es bamos habal lisrof es bnei ba'esh. You build baal to burn your children in fire. Asher lo tzivisi v'lo dibarti v'lo alsa alibi. Three things: lo tzivisi, lo dibarti, lo alsa alibi. And the targum says, Delo pakidis b'oraisi, and it commanded in my Torah. Delo shalchis b'yad avdei nevi'ai, my nevi'im didn't tell me. D'rabanan, velo rava kadama, and it's not my ratzon. Three levels. Hine, because of azem mefurash, ki yishloshesh chalkei Torah. Tzivui, dibur, and she'en olav, when Hashem commanded explicitly, what the nevi'im figured out, and she'en olav lo tzivu velo dibur, elo ratzon Hashem belvad, Tehim kol mitzvahs d'rabanan. Says Rebbe Chanan, that's the pshat in Yirmiyahu, that's the pshat of Pre-Matan Torah, and finally he says, that's the pshat of Bilam HaRasha. Because if you look in the text, if you look in the Torah Shebichsav and Parshas Balak, Bilam doesn't seem to be such a bad guy. He's such a bad guy. He doesn't want to go, Hashem doesn't let me go, and then he wants to go, so Hashem says, okay, go, but whatever I say, you have to say. So he went, and then he says what Hashem made him say. So Chazal say that. No, really, he wanted to try to figure out a way not to say it. But what was the problem of Bilam? Says Rebbe Chanan, because he knew Hashem didn't want him to go. And therefore, even if Hashem says it, he knew he was being forced. Like when a child could fetch and cry so much, a parent says, fine, go. And a child, right? And the parent might say afterwards, I expected you not to go, even though I gave you permission, because you saw I really didn't want you to go. But you went, but I had to say it, because you were like fetching and making me crazy. So Bilam too, Bilam made Hashem crazy. Come on, please, I want to go curse the Jews, I want to go curse the Jews. It's exactly like that child with a parent. But that's what Bilam did wrong, it was against Ratzon Hashem. So we had four ideas in Ratzon Hashem, starting again, trying to figure out, as we started off with, what does it take to be an Eved Hashem? The Radak says, using all of one's faculties and all of one's areas of life to serve Hashem. Obviously, the mitzvos are the 613. But we've said even beyond that. Sometimes applying to cases where the Torah couldn't have spoken about, because the Torah can't talk about every case. Maybe the Torah left it out on purpose to see what we're going to do. Maybe it's just figuring out, based on our halachic sense, what the Torah would want us to do, even though the principles are not laid out in the Torah. for this situation. And finally, maybe this is the basis for all Dinan Durabanan, because we would know Hashem would appreciate our doing this. Just to end off with the bracha, that the Gemara says in Mesechas Brachas and the Chafa Mebeis, where the Gemara says that the Malachim complained to Hashem, why do you favor the Jews? Favor the Jews. It says you're not allowed to show favoritism to the Jews. Right? It's an Isser. It's an Asser. Right? You're not allowed to take Shochad. You're not allowed to show favoritism to the Jews. Lo yisafanav lo yikach Shochad. And you show favoritism. Yisa Hashem panav elacha. V'yasen lecha shalom. How do you show favoritism? So Hashem says, how could I not show favoritism? They go above and beyond for me. So I have to go above and beyond for them. They bench, even on a kezias, even though it says in the Torah, v'yachalta, v'savato v'erachta. But they bench even on a kezias. They go beyond for me, so I go beyond for them. So we have to go beyond for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to figure out what Hashem wants in every situation. Everything we're in. Right, we're sitting in traffic. What does Hashem want from me now? Right, we're in this situation. We have this difficulty. We have this simcha. We have this. What does Hashem want from me right at this moment? That's what we always have to figure out. And that's how we could fulfill the Radak's dictum of trying to be an Eved Hashem in all areas. Okay, we'll stop here. And Hashem will hopefully get back to this topic at some point, because it's really a topic that deserves a lot of attention.